Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a
hump day.
Hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
All right, you get it out.
What?
All right.
Did it crack?
A little bit.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm the second puberty, you know what I mean?
My bad.
Good morning to you. How are you?
What's happening, man? I'm all good, Andy Bucker. Living for the weekend, as you know how I approach the week when it's Wednesday. I know it's all downhill from here.
All downhill from here.
And then they're going to let us out the studio on a non-Friday or Monday.
That's right.
So it's just going to be cool. Good to go to a bar as we will be at Twin Peaks at Kennesaw yesterday.
Get you ready for the college football playoff game.
Yeah, man. We're getting you ready for the college football playoff game tomorrow night, which I think is going to be a classic,
brother.
I think it's going to be a really good game between Ole Miss and Miami. And then NFL news never stops as another job is opened. Another coach is on the market, you know, and I'm assuming – no, not assuming. I know that he's vaulted to the top of the wish list for a lot of football teams.
Yeah. Two things happened simultaneously yesterday. The best coach in the cycle became available.
And the best job.
And the best job in the cycle became available at the same time.
That's crazy.
Which is really rare.
It's really rare, too, that happens, the best job and the best coach come available.
Why wouldn't they just stay together? It is what it is.
Yeah,
18 years is a long time. Sometimes you need a fresh start, I guess. Kicker missed a field goal, although it kind of sounds, if you read some of the reporting, that maybe that wasn't, like, they were going to move on anyway if they didn't win the Super Bowl because there was some disagreements in the power structure.
Do you think that right there, today, what happened yesterday, is kind of makes it a little bit easier for Pittsburgh to maybe do the same thing?
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah, I do.
I do, too. I mean, that's a long time to be at one team, especially in today's NFL.
Yep.
And, you know, for John, it went down to a point where it's like the visions were different.
Yep.
The visions were different. Obviously, you hear reports of, you know, the organization wanting him to move on from certain coaches. He's like, no. And then, you know, because he was fired.
Yeah.
It wasn't a parting of the ways.
Well, they tried to phrase it that way, but he was fired.
Yeah, he was fired. Yeah. You know, and so now you move on, and I was like, you've been coaching this damn long. Don't you want to take a break? Wife and kids? Hell, this kid's probably a little grown.
Probably,
and he probably just kissed his wife on the forehead now. So you never know, man. I mean, hell, probably just kiss his wife on the forehead. So I'm just thinking like, hell, let's take a break, man, or go do something. But no, obviously he wants to coach.
Yeah, I have an idea of what he could do.
What's that?
Be the Falcons coach.
I mean, that would be nice. But are we sure he wants to be that? Because Jim Harbaugh picks you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's the thing. John Harbaugh.
I'm sorry. Thank you. John, he picks you. Just like his brother did.
The reporting is that there are more than just teams that have vacancies that are interested in John Harbaugh.
Yeah, if you're a coach, that's shaky.
Yeah.
And if you're a GM, that's like hold over.
Uh-huh.
You're shaky because he's coming in.
That's right.
He wants his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's a lot of certain people that we know that he knows is with his brother out there in LA that he probably wanted to be his general manager. Does he want to answer to Matt Ryan? No, because we talk about the voice and the vision and stuff. The voice and the vision is his,
mm-hmm.
which it should be, in my opinion, anyways,
sure.
as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's earned the right to have that be the way that it is.
Yeah, so he's
what it was in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think about where he came from. He's a special teams guy. Ozzie found, I won't say found, because he was in the market, I mean, on the roster, rise or whatever, as a coach who could be a head coach and everything like that. And, you know, it was Ozzie, and then you had the Casas there. So he's had that structure right there for all those years, and now he's in a position where he wants it his way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's not in Baltimore anymore,
right.
because he wanted it his way. And so he's going to come in and, you know, I know there are certain jobs, the Giants job, where they kept their GM. What if you don't want Joe Shane? Joe Shane could be in a position where, you know what, Stefanski wants me, though.
Oh.
Can I talk to the Marr family?
And
Well, you know, he's really not that good.
Now, if Liam Cohen can get the general manager fired in order to get hired, then John Harbaugh can get pretty much anybody moved around in order to get that job. And I think that there's going to be a team that's willing to do that. I do think that that's where – because obviously, as we sit here in Atlanta, in need of a head coach and in the process of – finding a head coach, finding a general manager, and finding the president of football operations. None of those have happened yet. You know, you kind of look at, all right, well, that guy is clearly the best one out there. Go get him. But it's like, well, you can't because you don't have anything in place yet. And from what you hear, it sounds like they want it to be a situation where everybody answers to the president of football operations.
Yes.
And if the president of football operations is Matt Ryan, who's never done it before,
right.
How are you going to sell John Harbaugh
Thank
on that?
You.
I don't think you can. I don't know. I don't either. I don't think you can.
It would be hard, but maybe you can. Matt is, he's very respected. Obviously, all those different things. But I don't see John Harbaugh answering to him. I don't.
John Harbaugh answered only to the owner.
He didn't answer to the GM.
Right.
He answered to Bisciotti.
Only to the owner.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I don't understand. I don't know how that's gonna all that's gonna materialize and work out. And is Arthur Blank like, hell, I'll take him. Matt, you could be the special advisor.
That's my thing. Nothing's in stone.
No, nothing.
I feel like certain people coming available might allow you to change your course a little bit.
And it should.
Yeah, and if this guy is like, yeah, I would love to be your next head coach, but here's kind of how I would want it to be, mm-hmm. I would listen.
You're like, right.
I can't be so sure that my plan that hasn't even been instituted yet is the right one that I'm going to not have a conversation with John Harbaugh for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously the Falcons will be one of the teams that talks to him, I would think.
I would think, right? So.
I mean, the search firm has to identify him as a candidate.
Yeah, I don't think they got to do that. I don't think they need to. I don't know what goes in their algorithm over there
at the search firm, but that guy's resume is pretty good.
I don't think they need to even do that, you know. But, I mean, he's a damn good ball coach. He's a guy. He's a culture builder. That's what he is. And I know, and he's adjusted his way of coaching, you know, because you look at when he first got here, it was all about the defense and Ray Lewis and those guys, and he went through the thing with Joe Flacco, then he brought along Lamar and all those different things. So he knows how to coach it. Special teams coaches are some of the best coaches because they got to coach everybody.
Yeah,
they got to coach everybody.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
And so, I mean, he has done all those different things, but I mean, there's a couple things. He's going to be in high demand. We understand that. He's going to be in high salary demand, mm-hmm. like his brother was, mm-hmm. and he's going to want it his way. And that's just the way it is. That's why I said if you're a coach like Mike McDaniels in Miami, who we understand Stephen Ross has a real great relationship with the Harbaughs, we understand that. Obviously, Tampa, which seems like it's some rumblings going on down there. Mm-hmm. And if you're a GM that, you know, might be shaky, yeah.
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 Both you guys might go.
Yeah.
Like, or at least in Miami, there is no GM.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little easier. Yeah. Then you just move out McDaniel, you hire Harbaugh, and then he gets to bring who he wants.
If I was them, that's what I would do. If I'm Stephen Ross, I'm giving him anything he wants. Yes, whatever he wants, I'm going to give it to him. All right? And I think Stephen Ross is going to do that. I think Stephen Ross is going to make it hard for another team to get Jim Harbaugh because he's going to give him complete control of everything.
Yeah, he's going to – exactly. Yes. You're going to have carte blanche to the franchise, which, again, he should. Like, we're talking about the franchises that are going to have jobs open are the six that do and seven now, the Ravens, but obviously they're not going to hire him back.
Right.
And then another team that could potentially fire their guy to move him out. These are all franchises that are in desperate need of a culture change.
Yes.
That's why they have a coaching vacancy.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they're in a pretty bad spot. This isn't one of those ones like when the Falcons were in the market last time where there was pretty good situations that just needed the right guy.
Right.
Like, L.A. just needed the right coach. They had players. Mm-hmm. They had the quarterback. Yes. That's why Harbaugh was going to go there.
Right.
Even New England, which had kind of been stripped down to nothing, you knew it still could be there quickly because of what it had been so recently. It's a good ownership. And if you empower the coach and give the coach some money to spend in free agency, which they did, it's no surprise that a good coach like Vrabel could get it back running quickly.
Right.
There's anything like that right now.
No.
All these jobs that are open right now are franchises that haven't done anything in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need that direction.
Yeah.
They need that direction. Now, they got players.
Including the Falcons.
Yeah. I mean, the Falcons got young players. They got players in certain places, but they don't have that direction that they need. And you get a guy like that, that is, you know, he's a made man in the NFL. And when you talk about John, he's a made man, and he's going to get what he wants. And that's just, I mean, that's just the way it is. If it sounds bad, a cutthroat or whatever, he's going to get what he wants. That's why whenever I saw it, as soon as he was fired, which I was surprised by, but I was like, oh, I don't think the Falcons don't get him if their plan is their plan.
Right.
That's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to get him if their plan is their plan.
I thought the same thing.
I just don't see him answering to anybody.
Right.
You know?
Which, again, like, you know, plans are good. You need to have them.
Yeah.
Maybe this one will work. But I would say.
And maybe they can just sell. Maybe they can just sell it to him. Like, this is going to, Mr. Blank, this is the structure that I want. I want this and that.
Who's selling to who what?
Maybe it's got to be Mr. Blank.
Selling it to Harbaugh.
Yeah, selling it to him. It's got to be him. You have Matt Ryan in a room maybe or dinner or something like that. and you try to work that out.
What if that's how it goes, right? Because Matt, we don't know exactly what's all going to happen, but I think there's a lot of things that are assumed,
right?
And then now the Harbaugh thing gets thrown into the mix. I think the assumption by all of us was that at some point over the next couple of days, Matt Ryan's going to be hired as the president of football operations.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Matt Ryan probably thinks that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What if this happens, and they're like, "I don't know that we can do that now. This is he wants it this way."
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of the Deshaun Watson thing all over again.
Yeah.
They screw the Matt Ryan relationship up completely if he doesn't get this.
And what I'm saying,
and I'm not saying that that's why you need to do it.
No, like, I understand whatever. Exactly what you're saying. Like,
but if Matt Ryan doesn't become the president of football operations for any reason at this point, dude. Guy's going to be done with the Falcons.
You can't even put him in the car with Julio.
Nope.
Remember how they put Mike with riding?
None of that.
You can't even put him in the car with Julio and ride him out there in Mercedes. That man ain't going to tell you how to kiss his behind.
I was thinking yesterday about how like they're lining up the interviews for the president of football operations, and we all sort of think it's, you know, it's a dog and pony show because we know it's going to happen. Yeah. But what if it isn't? Like, what if Matt just sucks at the interview?
Yeah.
Like he came in and he wasn't ready, you know, like he just thought, you know, because he was the guy who was going to get it. And they started asking him hard questions and he was like, I didn't know we're really doing this. Is this serious? And then the other guy from San Francisco just nailed it.
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't know. He did better in the interview.
That does happen though.
Not in this case.
But that does happen a lot of times, man. You hear about it all the time. Like, damn, we didn't see that coming.
I was just thinking how funny it would be if that happened.
Oh,
like,
man.
If Matt Ryan just bombed the interview and they were like, yeah, man, we were going to hire you.
That dude is too sharp.
You weren't ready.
He's too sharp.
I know that.
Yeah, Matt is a sharp, he's a sharp brother, man. And
it's always a nice compliment.
But it is.
I've heard that said about Matt Ryan a lot over the last couple of days. He's a sharp guy.
He is.
It's just like, I don't know, I feel like you kind of have to be a certain stature to deem someone else that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, you don't hear a lot of like young people calling somebody else sharp.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I like it. It's a good compliment.
Yeah.
And you are of the place of life where you can deem other people sharp.
Yeah, man.
I don't know that I can call people sharp.
I think you can.
I don't know.
I think you can.
Or bright. I've heard him called bright a lot. He's a bright guy.
I don't like the bright.
You like sharp better?
I like sharp better. Yeah, I don't like bright as an older man. It's like 40 plus, you know.
Okay, so like he's a bright kid.
Bright to me is bright kid.
Okay, and I think you know what? I think that's more what I was thinking.
Yeah, I look at it more
like. I like sharp too, but that's more what I was thinking. Yeah. There's a lot of people that have been calling Matt a bright guy, which is like what you do say about a young person.
Yeah, man, maybe it's the older people saying it to him.
Yeah.
But no, it'd be a wild scenario. It'd be a wild ass scenario if, because, and I'm not saying they want the structure. John could be like, you know what, I just want to coach.
Nah. John wants his power, and Matt's going to be the president of football operations, and that might be the thing that stands between the marriage.
Maybe John, because he's an older, established coach, maybe he looks at him. That's a bright mind. I wouldn't mind working with him.
He's a bright kid.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's what we have to hope for.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here on a hump day. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I would say if you're looking at the Falcons, they have a good offensive line. They have good weapons in the backfield. They got Drake London. They got a good tight end. They may have to re-sign. But if you're Stefanski and you're walking in from the offensive side, that is the place that you – Not going to be a whole lot better place to just walk in and have talent sitting around your locker room.
All right. So there's Jeff Saturday weighing in on the Falcons situation. A lot of the national media seem to think that the Falcons' job is a good one, and that's great. Hopefully that helps them land the best possible candidate. I do think that yesterday, and we talked about it in the first segment there, you know, you could argue this job, that job, whatever. Now there's no argument. Like, the best job that's available now is the Baltimore job.
Yeah.
They've got 2-time MVP at quarterback, and they've been in the playoffs a million times. Should have been three.
Yeah.
They got a lot of talent on that roster, and I don't know. Lamar was hurt half the year.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I don't know. Sometimes things just need a fresh start and all that.
Eighteen years
is a long time, but like, I don't know. I still find it. It still surprises me that John Harbaugh's available.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, when you look at coaches like him, he just don't last as long. That's what I was saying earlier in the show. Like, this is one of those things where Mike Tomlin's one and done, which is probably a possibility because that's just a bad matchup for them, Houston.
Uh-huh.
Then is this going to make it easier? You know, because I know one thing about Mike T. Mike T. ain't going to fire no coach for you.
Right.
Like, or you got to get rid of Arthur Smith. I was thinking about this driving. I was like, you know what? Because I know Arthur Smith's going to be probably in this cycle. Arthur to Arizona makes so much sense to me for whatever reason. Arthur to Arizona, either him or Saleh to Arizona.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For
no pressure, not pressure.
Oh, no pressure. Yeah. Okay.
No pressure.
Because it's not like there's anything there really.
Right.
That, I mean, he's going to have to start fresh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the thing about.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make excuses or anything. It's just true. Like Arthur Smith, every year that he's been calling plays for an offense for the last like 7 years has had a different quarterback.
Yeah.
And I mean, Aaron Rodgers obviously is Aaron Rodgers, but he's not Aaron Rodgers anymore.
Right. Right.
And what last year was like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And, you know, before that, obviously, we know what happened here.
He's adjustable. He can adjust.
Yeah, kind of. But like, what would happen if he actually had a real quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either because he never has. He never has. He benched Mariota for Tannehill, got the most out of Tannehill everybody got, came here, had Matt Ryan, Mariota, and Ritter, which, you know, good, bad, worse.
Ritter's in the playoffs, baby.
Huh?
They signed him to the active roster. He's in the playoffs.
Don't tell me who. You said they. Who would have signed Desmond Ritter to the active roster?
Yep.
He's a backup quarterback in the playoffs?
Probably the emergency third or something
like
that. Okay, emergency third. Well, it depends on if their backup quarterback gets right.
Oh, okay. Oh. Is it Green Bay?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. But,
hell yeah, Dez.
Yeah, man. We get that playoff check, man. But I think that when you look at the standpoint of where John is right now, he is a guy that, you know, he picks you.
Yep.
You know, he's going to get an opportunity to interview for every single job if he wants to. Yep. Or he can just call the Giants right now and say, I want your job.
Every other candidate is pitching themselves to the organization.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh is hearing pitches.
Yes. Yes. And now he's in a point where – and he's going to want it his way. He's going to want to bring his own GM in, you know, if he's not comfortable with one of these guys or if he doesn't know these guys. He's going to want to bring his own guy in.
Yep.
He's going to want to bring his own staffers in. He's going to want to bring his you know, coaches with him. So, I mean, it's just so much about, you know, whenever you're in a situation like him to be able to pick who you want. You know, it's not a point where if he wants to answer the right. He speaks to the owner himself.
Right. And this is where I get back to the question I asked you at the end of the show on Monday, I think, which is, does making Matt Ryan the president of football operations for the Falcons make the Falcons' job more interesting, make it more desirable
I think it makes it interesting. I don't know about desire as far as I want to work with Matt Ryan because he's never done this before.
Right.
He's never been in a position – in the front office type position like this. So I don't know how a coach who's coached already would perceive
it. I don't either, but I do know from what we were talking about either yesterday or Monday or whatever about like if Matt Ryan's the president of football operations and you're hiring Ian Cunningham as general manager and you're getting maybe it's Kubiak or whatever, it's a first-time head coach, that's a lot of learning on the job across the board.
Yeah.
It would be very cool if you could have Matt Ryan as president of football operations, Ian Cunningham or whoever it is, doesn't really matter to me, at GM, and then Harbaugh, who's literally been through everything you could be through in the NFL. By the way, him and Cunningham worked together in Baltimore in some capacity. I don't really know what that guy and that guy have to do with each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? That would be really nice. It would be really nice to have some experience with other guys that are going to be first-timers. Especially president of football operations being a first timer.
Yeah, that's the ultimate thing, Buck, is like, you know, you never say somebody's not qualified to do something, you just say they don't have the experience. You know what I mean? Like he's qualified to do it. He just has never now he's been in the war room, he's been in the meeting rooms, he's been in all these different things, with the Aussies, with the Roseman and those guys like that who are
Cunningham,
yeah, who are at the top of their profession as general manager. So,
yeah, no, Ian Cunningham's resume looks like the resume of someone who's now ready to be a general manager.
Yes,
he's done all the stuff that most of these guys do to then become general manager.
He was the he was the Eagles director of player personnel with the Ravens. I mean, sorry, worked with the Eagles as the director of player personnel, and then before joining the Ravens, so he just left the Ravens.
Okay,
so in 2022, so. He's one of those dudes, yeah, he seems like he's like Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy where
so they've been
you know,
at a dinner
time,
together.
Yeah, it's time for him to.
Him and Harbaugh know each
so
other.
So that could sell him.
Could be.
That could be
or maybe he hates him.
Or he does. You never know.
He knows.
He can look at the Costas like, oh, that's your boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? That's your boy.
You know what I mean? Like, that's always the thing. It's like, oh, they work together. Yeah, that might not be good.
Yeah.
Don't you have people that you've worked with that you wouldn't want to work with again?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Maybe he was happy he left.
Baltimore, he was an area scout.
Okay.
It says personal assistant / area scout.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Okay. So, I mean, it's all boiled down to what do you want if you're Jim. And you said it before, power. He wants it his way.
Control.
Yeah, he wants it his way.
And the opportunity to win immediately.
Yeah, like yeah. That's it. He wants it.
He's not trying to rebuild or anything like that, yeah. Which, you know.
No. But, I mean, if he wants to rebuild, he can go to Miami.
Could.
Yeah, he can go to Miami. Because I'm telling you, Steve Ross is going to give him whatever he wants to go to Miami.
Dude, Stephen Ross did all kinds of tampering to try to get Brady there, didn't he?
Him and Sean Payton.
Didn't he do some crazy stuff trying to get Payton there? Yeah. And he wasn't able to get any of those guys there.
Yeah.
So he's not missing on this one.
No, he's gonna do what he gotta do. You want the shot? You want this, John?
Yeah.
No, he's gonna do his best to try and get John down there. But I think, you know, if you want, just take your time and listen to pitches. It's probably one of the things where do they fly to him? Hey, y'all come up to Baltimore. John been a head coach a long time. He got a lake house somewhere.
Oh, or like a beach house.
Yeah,
you know,
beach house or lake, like beach house or
Delaware
a lake house.
Delaware Beach or something.
Yeah, he got one of them.
I don't know that much about that part of the world's beaches.
Right.
But I'm sure there's some nice ones.
Yeah, I mean, you put a house on the beach, it's going to be nice outside of some places where there's a lot of seaweed. But, I mean,
I've never been to the beach in Washington.
It's bad.
It's just cold.
Oh yeah,
it's not really like going to the beach.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like my wife will go to the beach. No matter, I'm like, if I'm going to the beach, I don't want to wear long sleeves.
Oh, you're gonna need more than
that. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm on the beach. I want to be at least in a tank top.
Right.
At least in a tank top and a shower.
Yeah. No, you're not.
I don't want to be
You could.
Full damn sweats.
Yeah. You're gonna need some rain pants, a jacket.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to get in the water
because
it's freezing.
Yeah, I don't do all that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Greg. Cold ain't chill to me. I'm sorry.
We tried to sell because my in-laws are going to be out that way for an Alaska cruise.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That Jim's going to see all 50 states, right?
I don't know. Maybe. But they're going to drive through and see a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to hang out with my – we're going to try to be out there and we're going to go to the ocean. Because my mother-in-law was like, don't call it the beach.
Right.
It's not the beach. The beach is white sand and we can get in the water and we drink pina coladas and all that. Just call it the ocean.
Right.
You're going to take us to the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, but that should be a lot of fun.
It'll be great.
That should be fun.
It'll be great. Well, probably don't have time to. Joel Corey says that Kirk Cousins' contract modification means he's for sure not coming back. What else? The Atlanta Drive won in TGL last night. We're going to talk to Chris Goddard probably at 12:40. We'll see in our TGL update. That'll be fun. And, the quarterback of my favorite college football team is not going to go there anymore.
Yeah.
He's probably going to go to Bose.
You know what, dude? It just feels nasty for some reason.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, man. It is what it is. But you're telling me you're going to make him stay?
I think that's what they're prepared to do.
Make him stay?
Not to play
not
for the
Not to play,
team,
just to stay.
But to not play for the other team.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of,
it's really bad.
It's really bad.
I know. Like that, and that's because I was going to talk to, you know, obviously my buddies were all over it. And I was like, so that's what we're rooting for now? Like we're rooting for the University of Washington legal team?
Yeah.
You guys understand how gross that is? They're like, I don't care. I don't want that kid to play.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you just like, it's foul what happened. It is. The tampering aspect of it, everything. And if everything is they're saying is true, like Sam Levitt was sitting next to Lane at the basketball game.
At the basketball game with Levitt while this was going on.
Yes.
Meanwhile, and I don't know if Damon Williams knew about this or not, but the whole Huskies football team and athletic department is at a memorial service for a soccer player who died of cancer last year. Literally everybody was there when he made the announcement. So they're like in the memorial service crying with the parents of this girl who died of cancer.
Right.
And again, it's not like a small story.
Right.
It was a campus-wide vigil for this girl who died of cancer. And he put out his announcement during that. So maybe he's a dick.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if he is or not. Did I get dumped for that? Yeah.
Hey, y'all talking
only because he's going to your
y'all
school.
Y'all always talking about me getting
that's
dumped.
That's a borderline one, man. That's there's such a fine line.
Y'all don't tell me. Randy. The old foul mouth buck over here. Tomorrow, guys, join Dukes of Air Force
new
special
year,
broadcast
me.
Live from opening day of the Atlanta Boat Show at the Georgia World Congress Center. The broadcast starts at 2:00. As the longest running boat show in the region gets underway. That's Dukes of Air tomorrow from 2 to 6.
All right, Dave Archer is going to join us next. What are we going to talk to him about? So many things. So many things going on with the Falcons. Great day to talk to Arch. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle, as every single day this week continues to bring more and more really big news out of the National Football League. Obviously, yesterday afternoon was the Ravens and John Harbaugh parting ways, or John Harbaugh getting fired, however you want to put it. After 18 years, he's now available, and there's one more coaching vacancy as well, including the Falcons, which was made known on Sunday afternoon. Joining us now, as he always does on Wednesdays, is Dave Archer from the Falcons Radio Network, presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Arch, how are you?
Andy, doing good, man. Appreciate it. It's always been fun to come on with you guys all year long. You and Randy, you guys have been fun to talk to. And sad it's coming to an end for this year, but hopefully I get a chance to do it with you guys again next season.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, as much fun as it's been, we've had some good football to talk about. Unfortunately, we haven't had a playoff appearance to talk about since we've been doing this show.
Yeah.
What was your reaction on Sunday night when all the news came out?
Yeah, I think that I was probably in the camp of the many that felt like that there was probably something going to happen. I was probably a little bit caught, not completely surprised, a little bit caught off guard with the 4-game win streak to finish the season. You beat two of those teams were quality. If you want to call Tampa a quality team, they were in the mix to try to be in the playoffs, and then the Rams. And obviously you did it not in dramatic fashion, or dominating fashion, but you certainly showed some fight, some moxie to you a little bit, and found a way to win 4 straight games. So that made it, I guess, a tad of a surprise. I think I maybe was more surprised with the Terry Fontenot thing, maybe a little bit more. And I know that we haven't had a winning season in his 5 years here, and he's had 2 coaches. Man, this roster's littered with guys he went and got in the draft in free agency that are really good players. I know that the quarterback thing probably hangs over his head a little bit in how that has all transpired. But I guess all in all, a little surprised, I guess, would probably be the category I'd put it in.
Tell me this, because that was going to be my next question about the surprise. But tell me, I wanted to know your biggest surprise on the field itself of the whole season.
Biggest surprise from a place?
Yes, on the field. Yes, just on the field. Not necessarily who was fired, who was let go. Just the play on the field. What was your biggest surprise this year?
I think the biggest surprise, I'd like to stay positive, right, but the biggest surprise for me is more on the negative side, is that we didn't play more consistently on the offensive side of the ball, that there was more of a kind of dictating to the opposition. You know what I mean, Randy?
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like this was an offense that was going to come in and be able to run it and throw it and really kind of dictate the terms. Not to the level that we saw in 16 with Ryan and that group of guys that could go make plays, but was just disappointed. And there's a lot of dysfunctional pieces to it, right? The Drake London was as advertised. Kyle Pitts had his moments, but there was – That third and fourth receiver just did not come to fruition for us. And obviously, Bijan was a monster. We expected that, and we expected Tyler to do his contribution, the offensive line. But the third and fourth receiver, or second and third receiver, and just their inability to do anything, that position, you guys remember, that position was, 1,700 yards receiving last year combined?
Right.
Some 10 or 11 touchdowns combined, or 10 touchdowns somewhere in the neighborhood. And you just didn't get any of that. And so that was just a piece of it. But just I guess that was probably the biggest surprise, was the dysfunction offensively and just the inability to just be consistent.
Here's an easy way to make it positive is, what do you think either the Falcons are going to be selling candidates on, or if you're a candidate and you're looking at this, what are some of the things that stand out to you as, all right, if I go there, I've got this?
Well, first of all, most offensive coaches, Andy, want to be able to run the football. And I think that, save this last weekend, which almost feels like an anomaly now, just the way the Saints were able to shut the run game down. And there's some number of reasons for that. I'm sure you guys watched some of the tape and stuff. But I think the ability to run the football, you've got a guy that's dynamic coming back, arguably one of the two or three we feel like is the best running back in the National Football League, but certainly one of the two or three best coming back. I think you love that as an offensive coach that you're looking at from an offensive standpoint. Defensively, you got to love the young talent and stuff that's coming back, and the fact that you were able to get after the passer and take the ball away and some of those kind of things. But on the offensive side of the football, that would be the thing I would be selling was, hey, one of the entities you have to be able to do if you want to be a good offense is be able to run the football.
What did you think of when you heard the fact that, you know, there's new leadership as far as Matt Ryan, maybe, nothing is official, but the possibility of him coming in and being the president of the organization?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this maybe a little bit off air and stuff like that, and maybe a little bit on you guys' show. I kind of felt that there was an inkling somewhere back in November that there was some conversation about a football-oriented guy coming in and right. maybe doing a scour of what was going on. I think we talked a little bit about that. And to say that it's Matt Ryan, if it is, in fact, Matt going to be the guy, you're looking for a guy that knows what it looks like, you know, and what it smells like and what the building's supposed to be at. And Randy, you know this as well as anybody does. There's entities that the fan never knows about. You know, what's going on in the locker room? What's being said in the hallways? What are you doing in the breakdown meeting rooms? What are you doing when the offense gets together? You know, how are we maximizing what we do in walkthroughs when before we get to practice? And then how do we manifest that into what practice is supposed to look like so it's a worthwhile practice, so you're not just out there, you know, running around with your helmet on, you know? And so that he knows what all that's supposed to look like. I mean, he was on arguably the best team this franchise has ever had.
Right. Yeah.
Certainly one of the two or three best it's ever had. He knows what it looks like, what it smells like, what you're supposed to be doing to get yourself prepared to be that way. And so I know that Mr. Blank trusts him implicitly. I had a chance to visit with him for 13 years of his career mm-hmm. and watched him grow as a player and as a teammate. He came in as one of the great teammates, and I think that's another piece to it. I mean, all you got to do is throw on that. And I think it was circulating a little bit here. I saw it on Twitter that somebody found it and reposted he came in, he was asked by Raheem to come in and talk to the team mm-hmm. and what it meant to be a Falcon. And I mean, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you could find it on YouTube or something like that. I know you guys have probably seen it. You guys have seen it, but mm-hmm. maybe if the fan hasn't seen it, go find that. It's very telling as to the passion he has for the city, the passion he has for this team, Mr. Blank, all of that stuff. I think all that's going to play in if in fact Matt's the guy.
I know part of it is that it's just kind of unknown with Penix's injury and how quickly he can come back and all that. I know Cousins restructured yesterday, but that seems to indicate they're probably going to cut him from that contract anyway, and what happened yesterday probably makes that even more likely. But how do you view the Falcons' quarterback situation going into next year, and maybe what do they need to do to kind of shore that up with Penix unsure of being able to play week one?
Yeah, Andy, that's going to be the $64,000 question. You know, come up with a good answer there, a stable answer, one that you can lean into. The recovery of Mike Penix is going to be, you know, kind of up in the air right now. You don't know. We're only what, a month into his recovery or something along those lines. I do know he's been around the building, been back here in Atlanta and trying to be a part of things, but you don't know how that's going to go. So the Cousins stuff is interesting. It could position you to, as you guys suggested, maybe it allows you to be able to walk away, and the number can be skewed over 2 years, the $32 million or whatever it is you'll potentially owe him over 2 years if you cut him after June 1. They can spread that out over two. Or does it mean that he is amenable, and it sounds like amenable to coming back and potentially being that guy that starts for you to start the season? I know that some people are cringing at that. Some people may be pumping their fists and saying, yeah, you know, I don't know. But I do know that he did some pretty good things when he came in for Penix. And we were able to win some games with him. I think, what was he, 5-3 as a starter mm-hmm. this year? Yep. Something along those lines. So, yeah, there's a couple of blips on the radar for him, but I do think he did some pretty good stuff. And if you know, you put another receiver around him that can make some plays, who knows? But, I don't know. It's hard to tell there, guys, as far as what's going to be the stopgap between Penix getting healthy and who's available.
Right. Dave, as this new search goes on for head coach, me and Andy, all our shows keep getting asked the same thing, and I say the same thing. When the people say, who do you want to be the coach? I say a good one. What about I don't say preference, Dave, but what are you looking at when as far as, you know, these coaches that are out there as a possibility to be the Falcons' next head coach?
Yeah, I just want a guy that's going to be able to come in and work with the quarterback. I think that most of these teams, and I guess you could probably save the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young's been really good some. He hasn't been very good some. So is Dave Canales, you know, has he got him going in the right direction? I think he has him going in the right direction to a certain extent in Carolina. Other than the other 13 teams, I think you feel pretty good about the quarterback position. And really that's what it takes. In this league, you obviously have to have the auxiliary pieces that can go make plays and do stuff both for you on offense and defense, but you got to have the quarterback right. And
right.
And so for someone that can come in and work with the QB and get him dialed in where he feels comfortable, and it's got to be a two-way street. Randy, I don't know how much, you know, obviously you're around Rivers. You're around some really good players at that position. I've never been in a place where the quarterback isn't a contributor to what you're doing. I'm not talking about sitting in on Monday and Tuesday right. to put the game plan together, but you're certainly sitting there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday saying, I like this, scratch this, I don't want that, let's do this. I mean, there's a contributing factor there that has to be, because as a quarterback, you've got to feel comfortable in the game. When something comes in, you like it. You're good with it, you know, and I'm not saying that wasn't happening. It just feels like there was some dysfunction when it comes to that blend of the quarterback and the guy calling the plays. I'd like to see that. That's the number one thing. So that leading to a coach that's willing to do that, a guy that's comfortable in his own skin, that's not saying, hey, it's my way or the highway, because it can't be that way. You've got to be able to have some ebb and flow to you and be able to blend what you know and what you can do with what your players can do. And so that would be number one in my mind.
Arch, we appreciate it, as always, and all season. Thank you.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Guys, it's always been great to be with you guys. Y'all take care, okay?
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network analyst. All throughout the football season, he joins us on Wednesdays. And obviously, as you can tell, kind of final wrap-up conversation there. And obviously, we'll talk to him throughout the offseason, as we always do, and get things going back up on Wednesdays next training camp and through the season as well. And maybe next year.
Maybe.
It'll be the first time we get to talk playoff football with Dave Archer.
Maybe, man. Maybe. I mean, you know, there's still a process.
Still haven't been over 500 since we've been doing a show.
I just like what he was saying as far as, I mean, I won't say it doesn't matter, because everything matters. But you got to get that guy. You got to have him. To give yourself and your organization and your fan base and your city a chance, you've got to get that position right. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the head coach who's an offensive guy, or it's a defensive guy who gets the right guy in here to coach his quarterback and run his offense, it has to be fixed. And it's got to be fixed now. I'm not saying that he got to go put him on a trajectory of the Hall of Fame after 1 year, but whoever's a quarterback has to be, like Dave said, a factor in it. I know we didn't win an old Super Bowl or nothing, but I've seen how it's been done. I know how it's done. Just like Matt Ryan, he was talking about Matt Ryan. I watched Philip work. I know what it takes to have a good quarterback that results more in winning than he does lose. He's going to lose some games, going to throw some damn picks.
Sure.
But more than anything, he's going to win you games. And they need that here in Atlanta. And they have not had it since the guy they're making the president.
No, they haven't.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Had they, he might not be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they had won enough games, they wouldn't have to have all this turnover and try to restart things over and over again. I hope Penix is that guy. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, who knows if he'll even play week one? Hopefully he does.
I think he will. Each Wednesday night, that is tonight, join our main man, Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. Is brought to you by Ingles, low price, low love, the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation tonight. Well, my man, Day-Day.
Somehow there's 9 teams interested in John Harbaugh and only 6 jobs available.
Yeah. Watch yourself.
Who's getting fired to make room for John Harbaugh?
Watch yourself.
We'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.